and welcome to the Hour of Hope, the program that gives an hour to focus on the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. I'm your host, Pastor Matthew Broman of Safe Harbor Church in Accutan, Alaska. I'm so glad you're with me on this wonderful Sunday morning. If you'd like to get a hold of me, you can email me at matthewvroman@gmail.com. And it's just good to hear from the people that listen and give me maybe suggestions, or you have a question or you'd like prayer. I would love to connect with you. On today's program, we are going to be listening to instrumental music. Think for a minute, how many hundreds of years the church has had instrumental music. You almost associate music with the church and, of course, Bible teaching. I hope you're ready for a great hour where we're going to hear some of the best instrumental music around. Let me open in prayer, though. Father, thank you so much for this time to look at your word, and thank you for everyone that is here. I pray we would be blessed by the wonderful instrumental music, and I pray for, of course, for the Bible study. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
remember when I was a young boy, the first time I was able to actually go to the Shiite rituals where they beat themselves, and you have to have black outfit, which is a sign of mourning. I was so excited to buy this new black shirt and asked my dad to buy me these chains. There's a cluster of chains that that people have, and they beat themselves with these chains. And we used to beat ourselves on the streets, thousands of young people trying to earn points and please Allah that He would may have pity on us or forgive us. And more you torture yourself, more you get points, and hoping and wishing that you will go to heaven. So I was born and raised in Iran as a Shiite Muslim. I loved God as a young boy, and I always wanted to serve Him and to love Him. And when I was 16 years old, something happened to me that it changed my life. I was going to my cousin's wedding. Some of my relatives gave me a ride, and they had some alcohol. I didn't, and I was in the car. And I was so excited to go, and suddenly, as we are on the way, there's a checkpoint. They pulled the car over, they smelled the alcohol, and they took all of us out. They took us to confinement, took all our clothes off, bare naked. They start putting cold water on us, and they start beating us with these big, thick cables. And they were mocking us and laughing at us. They threw almost 50 of us in a small room. We were choking. I was so angry. I was feeling humiliated, hatred toward the people who tortured me unjustly in the name of Allah for something I hadn't even done. So they took us to the court with shackles on our hands and our feet. And I sat before a judge, it was a mullah, and he began to judge us based upon Islamic laws. My family found some connections and they paid some bribe. They actually released us and we had to just pay a fine. But that was the beginning of a long journey. I began to question Islam. Islam that I was loving and serving. What kind of religion is this, that there's so much injustice? My mother said, no, Islam is good. Only these mullahs, this regime, makes it look bad. I said, okay, fair enough. Then I began to do on my own research, because before I would read the Quran, but just to earn points. But this time I began to read to see what actually Quran says. I saw so much bad things in the Quran. For example, Surah 9, verse 29-30, Muhammad said that kill those who don't believe in Allah and in His messenger. Surah 5, 51, it says, do not take Jews and Christians for your friends, because they are friends of each other. So imagine all these years, all propaganda in the school. We heard bad things about America, bad things about Israel. We heard evil things about Jews and Christians. And suddenly, my eyes are being opened that this is not from God. A God who made this beautiful universe, the flowers and the birds and these beautiful rivers and mountains. This God could not be this cruel. Now I lost my faith in Islam. Then I said, so now what? Who is God? If there's no God, then what is the purpose of life? Who made this world? And if there is a God, then who is this God? I want to know Him. Shortly after that, many things happened in my life. I lost my father. My father passed away. As a result, I dropped out of a school. I left all my friends. I was isolated. And I was so broken, so hopeless. And I was crying out to God, God, if you're real, who are you? So then, when I was 19, I heard the gospel for the first time. Our power was out. I had a radio that was working with battery. So I turned this radio because I was sitting in this dark room, and then I came across a channel and somebody was talking about that he was going to commit suicide, to hang himself. And on the way, he heard this beautiful music. And he followed that sound of music and he arrived to this church. And he heard the good news of the gospel and his life changed. It was a glimpse of hope that began to shine in my heart. But nothing changed. Shortly after that, I heard again that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He came, that He died for me on the cross as a sacrifice, and then 3 days later, He rose from the dead. And if I believe in Him, I'll be saved. I said, that's a bunch of baloney. I rejected the whole thing. I said, how could God have a son? God doesn't have a wife. I could not comprehend that God would have a son and He would come and die for us. But 1 week later, I was so depressed and so sad, and everything seemed dark and hopeless. And I heard the message again. So that day I had nothing to lose. And very skeptical, I said, Jesus, I do not know you. I was told you're a prophet. Now I hear you're the Son of God. I don't know who is telling the truth. I don't want to be a victim of religion again. But if it's true, I want you to show me. And the moment I say that, the heat went through my hand. I began to cry and weep. It's like somebody put his hand in my heart. and yanked out all that hatred and anger and bitterness and depression because I hated the people who tortured me unjustly. That hatred turned to compassion. And I was so full of joy, so full of love. I went to my mom's house. My mom saw me and she said, "What happened to you?" I said, "Why?" She said, "Your face is shining." I told my mother that I became a Christian. I accepted Jesus in my heart. And she didn't have a negative reaction. And she was sick for many years. She had a pain that the doctor said you have to have surgery, and she had so much pain. I had this confidence that if I ask anything in the name of Jesus, he will hear me. So I prayed for my mother, and instantly pain left my mom. She never had the same pain, same problem ever again. And she was suffering for years, and Jesus Christ healed her. So then I began to look for a Bible. I'm a Christian now. I want to see what Jesus said. I was told when I was a Muslim that Moses brought the Torah, Jesus brought Injil, which is Gospel, and Muhammad brought the Quran. But they told me the other two are distorted. They're changed, it's corrupted, so they're no longer valid. Only the Quran is the last revelation of God. But now I became a Christian. I want to see what Jesus says in Injil. So I began to look for Injil. And I went library after library, store after store, shop after shop. For 3 months I was searching. I couldn't find one. Finally, I came on the internet and I searched for the word Injil. And then a bunch of links show up and I clicked on them. But then it said access to this website is prohibited. So the government blocked the websites that actually had the gospel on them. So I started a computer. I used the VPN and I circumvented the blockage. And I click on the link and open all the books of the Bible. I saw all these books. I said, "Who are these people? Who is Timothy? I mean, what is Corinth, Corinthians?" I had never heard those things before. So I downloaded only the four Gospels. And I began to read. I think I read the four Gospels in 5 days. I was so glued to this computer. And as I was reading, the first five chapters of Matthew made me cry. Because I saw these words that I had never heard before. Love your enemies and pray for those who hate you and spitefully use you. And I began to ask this question, why this book is illegal? There's nothing bad in it. It's all about love. And I saw Jesus said, "I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays his life down for his sheep." And introduced God as a loving father. I mean, all these beautiful, powerful words. I said, everybody should know about this. So I began to copy the four Gospels on CD. And as I was going out to the gym and on the street, I would give to people. And people around me would hear me and they'd run to me. "Hey, can I have a copy as well? Can you give me one too?" After 8 months of doing that, I was in a phone booth. I was talking on the phone and a guy came with a long beard and he began to stab me with a knife. After he ran away, I felt something warm coming down my face and my leg and I just touched it and it was blood. I don't know who the person was, what was his motivation, but that was the moment I began to feel for sure that it was not safe for me to stay there and God wanted me to leave. So one night I grabbed some clothes and I left. I didn't tell anybody. And I came, I remember as I was walking on the streets where I grew up, I knew I'm not gonna see those streets for a long, long time. And I went to the bus station and I got a ticket to Tehran. And then from Tehran, I came to the border of Turkey. And miraculously, God helped me to cross the border and come to Turkey. I'm a 19-year-old boy. I don't have money. I don't know anybody. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. Nobody's picking me up. There's no arrangements. But I had this peace that the same God who healed my mother, the same God who saved me, the same God is with me. I had this confidence. There was no fear or uncertainty what's going to happen. I just knew that everything is going to be all right. I met this Iranian guy. And I didn't say, "Oh, I don't know what to do. I'm a stranger. Please help me." I just shared the gospel. And he said, "Well, I'm not a Christian, but I'm researching. I'm going to a church to see what they believe and what they say." He said, "Would you like to come with me?" I said, "Of course." So this guy took me to the church. And then actually he gave me the first actual New Testament. And it's like somebody gave me the whole world. I was so happy to have actual New Testament in my hand. And I saw people rejoicing and praising God and worshiping God, music, guitar. In contrast to mosque, every time we went to mosque, he was weeping and crying and sorrow and sadness. After the service, the pastor came to me and he said, "Welcome, what are you doing here?" So I told him my story. And he said, "Oh, praise the Lord, God has called you and he loves you and he has a plan for you." So somebody in the church took me to his house. God was so faithful to me, providing for me, protecting me. There were so many threats. So I was there for 2 years and I got a call from UN that you are accepted as a refugee. I arrived in America and I say, thank you, Lord, for a free country where I can freely worship you. After I finished the Bible study, I started a church for Iranians, began to reach out to Muslims. Iranians are left and right coming to Jesus. Imagine for all those years, we would go to the shrines of dead imams and we would pray to these dead bones, crying out to Allah, to Muhammad, for answer. And not even once Allah answered our prayer. But the moment I called on the name of Jesus, I felt His love, I felt His power, and He showed up in my room. My name is Ramin Parsa, and I am one for Israel.
Christ. He'd looked in religion. He'd looked in the religion of Shiite Islam from Iran, but he didn't find it. And no one can find hope other than in Jesus Christ. Maybe you're listening and you know that is so true. You're said, I can relate to that story. Well, I've got good news for you on today's Bible study. We're going to learn more about how to have that wonderful life that can only come through Jesus Christ. Let's listen to one more song before we get into our Bible study. We're continuing through the Gospel of John, and on today's program, we're going to just do a quick review, and then we will bring some application to what we've been reading. But let's read the scriptures together. It's John chapter 1, verse 1 through 14. I just very much want you to get a handle on the Word of God. By the way, I just want to mention again, if you'd like to get my book, it just came out. You can go to Amazon.com and you can type in MATHEWBROMAN. And there's two books, This is the Way and One, The One Answer for Life's Questions. So they're right there on Amazon. They have them on Kindle and paperback. Let's go to John chapter 1, but first let me pray. Lord, I pray we would have a good Bible study. I pray we would get a lot out of this. Thank you for your grace. And I just pray that you would help us to learn. In Jesus' name, amen. So look what it says about John chapter 1. John chapter 1. He says, in the beginning, we've talked about this before, but I'm just trying to make sure we don't go too fast. You miss something. There was a lot of different teachings going on. And John is attempting to show, you know, people were looking for the word or logos was what it meant in their language. It was the apex of knowledge, the source of knowledge. It was the creator God, some group says. And so he presents Jesus Christ as the word. And his goal is that people would believe and experience life, not religion. So look at this. In the beginning was the Word, John chapter 1, verse 1. So in the beginning, at creation, the Word, who is Jesus, you'll see that in a few minutes, is. He wasn't created. And the Word was with God. He's in co-relationship with God. And the Word was God. He is deity. The same was in the beginning with God, meaning he didn't change after creation. He didn't develop. That's important because they were throwing out different teachings and different things, and they would say, well, this developed, or you need this knowledge. He's saying, no, Jesus Christ was the Word, and he's the same. He's the same exactly how he was. I don't know if that's the right sentence. When at creation, as he is to now, he's eternal. All things were made by him, meaning everything. There isn't anything you can see that was not created by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In other words, there's nothing that cannot trace its reality from the Word of Jesus Christ. In him was life. Now, wait a minute. John 1:4, does that say in him was religion? The reason I keep bringing that up, so many people mistakenly think it's about religion, and religion is my spiritual code to try to get to God, or my code of behavior. Jesus is about life. Life is the freedom. Life is that inner thing, that inner experience you have when you come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He calls it being born again. And the life was the light of men, meaning people can't see without Christ. That's why in John 3 he says, you can't even see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. And the light shineth in darkness, like everything shines in darkness. The darkness comprehended not, meaning people don't understand. The goal of John's letter or book, whatever you want to call it, is that they would comprehend or truly understand the difference between comprehending and knowing something. There is a little bit of difference what he's talking about. You can know something, but you don't really understand how it impacts your life. He's saying this is complete comprehension or grasping how the word in the beginning was the word who is with God, the Word is God, he doesn't change, he has life, how that connects to you. So you want to comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This is John the Baptist, his cousin, not John, his one of his followers. This is not the one that wrote this book, just like there's a lot of different, my name is Matthew, Pastor Matthew, there's a lot of Matthews I've met before. In the same way, there's a lot of Johns going around at this time. So John was very important. If you wanted to read more about him, you could read the other Gospels, because especially Luke tells us a lot about his parents and how he was born. I mean, he's not in the sense of like Jesus being God in the flesh, the incarnate one, But I mean, he was born as to the high priest. So be sure and read that in Luke chapter 1. But let's go on and continue with the chapter. So we have, there was a man sent from God in John chapter 1, verse 6. Now, then we learn what he was doing. Just like this whole chapter, this whole introductory verses give you an overview. He says, the same came for a witness, the idea of the court testifying to something. Well, what was he witnessing to? To bear witness of the light. The light, the life, the word, Jesus. And then his goal. What's his agenda? That all men, everyone, every man, every woman, every child, every adult, whoever has ever lived through him might believe. Now, there, during his time, but as we read this, that's what we're supposed to do, because John 20, it told us the last verse of that chapter, that by believing you may have life. He says and believing means more than knowing. I mean that comprehend it and bring it into your life. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. He wasn't the light. They wanted to set him as a light because they had this culture of these teachers. They had the secret knowledge. They were the enlightened ones. Right now at the hotel we're staying at, we're heading home, there's a conference and you look in and there's all these crystals and these different displays. Well, they are showing different lights. But he says John is not the light. And remember, it's the true light we're going to get to right now, because what does it say? But was sent to bear witness of light. That was the true light, meaning there's not another light, which lighteth every man was coming into the world. You may be listening and you've just never perceived, or you feel distant, or you don't understand. Well, don't start with just reading a bunch of extra books. Start with asking yourself a fundamental question. Do you believe in Jesus, like we've looked at the revelation of him, his death, burial, and resurrection? Do you really comprehend that he is God? He is the co-equal with God, and he is the eternal one. Do you, that whole, all the truth we're talking about, because that's how you understand and perceive spiritual truth. He was the true life. He was in the world. Now we're going to switch back to the word, John. We're not talking about John anymore. And the world was made by him. We just read it, John 1:3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That's how we know he's jumping back. It's kind of like we had that parenthesis talking about John, because people were wondering about John, and he's critical to this letter. He says the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. They didn't know him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. I always understand that to mean the Jewish people, the people that should have known the truth. And you're going to see an important part of this letter is his interaction with the Jews, the Jewish leaders. And it's going to begin very soon in this chapter. So they didn't receive him. But look at this, verse 12. But as many as receive him. So I've talked about believing, comprehending. Well, what does that do for someone when they do that? To them gave he power. Power to what? To become the sons of God. Some people say we're all the children of God. That's not true. Everyone's created of God. God loves everybody. Jesus wants everybody to believe. He died for everybody. But the only true children are the ones who receive him, even to them that believe on his name. So I like that, because you're talking about something tangibly real, that you're a child of God. And then he says, which was born not of blood. So there's people who thought they were children of God, or they were right with God because of their physical birth, which were born. So if you're somebody, this next point, if you're somebody that thinks you can get to God by doing good works, nor the will of the flesh, you can try all day. You can get baptized a bunch of times, try all the denominations, getting baptized, all the different churches. That's not going to get you born of God. Because he's real clear. How are you born of God? 12. But as many as receive him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. On his name, I missed that. I forgot to mention that, is everything he is. Nor the will of the flesh, and nor the will of man. Now, I try to think about that conceptually. So we know it's a choice to receive him. So what is will of man? And as I'm still wrestling through what does that mean, but I think one thing it means, they were going again to all these different teachers, all these different men and these different spiritual gurus that are... And they would have thought they were going to be good because I went to teacher X and he's got this knowledge, the will of man, the knowledge of man. And basically what that means is everything, the enlightenment, all these ways we're promoting man will not get us. You're not going to be born again. You're not going to reach what you need to reach. It's only through receiving Christ. And then he says, because this is being born of God. It's not born of man. This is not the next step, as New Age says, of enlightenment. This is born of God. So we need to be very careful of going to other places thinking we're going to have a quote-unquote enlightenment. The only place we are truly spiritually alive is by receiving Christ. And then we get back to John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then 14 connects the dots. And the Word was made flesh. What does that mean? Meaning flesh and blood. Not a quasi-spirit type of person. He's very intentional with his wording. He wants us to understand that God, the Word, becomes man, the Word. Dwelt among us. He's not like the Pope or some religious leaders where they have all these, or the president where they have glass, all these things. He's like, no. He's like walking amongst us. God becomes a man and is available to man. And we beheld his glory. Glory is the term in the Old Testament for God's presence. We saw it. I'm writing you as John, one of the followers, not John the Baptist again. I beheld his glory. I've seen Jesus, who he's talking about, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, a way of saying God became fully God. Became fully man, full of grace and truth. So we've seen in him his life. He's full of grace. Grace is God's unmerited love. Truth is truth. Meaning this, and there's not another truth. He's going to say later in the letter, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the truth. And that's where we're going to hold off on verse number 14. You need to think about this. Have you received Jesus Christ as what we've talked about? Not have you had a religious conversion? Have you learned about Jesus Christ? But have you really, really learned Christ? And that's what I want to challenge you to think about. If you're listening and you haven't, you need to ask yourself why. Go back to John 1 and read it again. You can go to apradio.org and you can listen to this teaching again. It's majorly important that you think about this, because if you haven't received Christ, like John 1 says, he's saying you're not a son of God. Later he's going to say the wrath of God abides on you. He's going to flesh this out and argue this out and show it. Remember, John's the Baptist, Jesus' cousin. What was his agenda? He tested so that all men, everyone, through him, might believe. Do you believe? And if you believe, are you growing in it? He doesn't say you become a son of God, boom. He says the power. And I see that as something that should be so impactful in our lives. So let me close in prayer. If you'd like to pray with me and then let me know how this impacted you, you can reach me at mathewroman@gmail.com. Pray with me. Lord, I pray that you would touch everyone who's listening. I pray that everyone would think on these truths. You would awaken it. Bless all the places people are listening, different islands, different places. Lord, I pray if they don't have a real Bible study church, that they would reach out and we could start something. Thank you, Father, for everyone that listens. Bless them. And I thank you. Bless the island of Akitan. I'm just thinking of the day. That's where our church is at. Sandpoint, all the other islands that are part of this wonderful radio listening audience. Bless Virgil at the Virgil and Dave and the ones who run the radio station. Thank you for them allowing this program. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory. You are Jesus. Hey, why don't you pray with me right now? You just repeat the prayer. Prayer doesn't save you, but just the idea of solidifying it with a prayer. Tell God, say, God, I want to believe in you. I believe you are Jesus Christ, the Son of God, truly God, truly man. I believe you died for me, and I want to believe like John had testified so that I want to believe and have this become a son of God, as a daughter of God, a child of God. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we did John 1, 1 through 14. We'll continue it on the next program. Now, let's look at where I get my music from. I share it every week, but I wanted to make sure that you knew where I get this. I get it from YouTube, all the soundbite thingies you get. And I'm just going to give you the highlights of the titles, summarize them. So you, if you wanted to check them out and give a shout out. So it was all instrumental. We did A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, Amazing Grace by Greg Buchanan, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God played by Chris O-E-L-K-E-R-S, Iranian Stabbed for Sharing His Faith, Miraculous Made Across the Border Without a Passport. You could Google these on YouTube. You just go to the title because that's the title of them. Old Rugged Cross, Instrumental Sax, Worship Him. And then Gratitude, Cinematic Orchestra, Piano Cover, Young Ming Yo. And then we're going to finish up with a longer instrumental piece because we know that it is amazing when you hear, you know, it's the nice thing about instrumental is they can be longer and they're so powerful. You know, they're just so powerful. And so we're going to finish up with a longer instrumental piece. And it is called To Him Be Glory, and it's epic worship music. And the whole thing is over an hour, but of course you're not going to get the whole hour. But that's about To Him, God, Be Glory. Glory means lifted up. And I think that's a great way to go out. Let the music soothe your soul as you think about Christ and you think about just kind of put the world aside and focus on God and God alone. Before I go off on get off, I wanted to say thanks again, give a shout out to the wonderful radio station we have there, and ask you if you could, if you hear this program, please just email me and say, hey, I heard you, love to send you a free book the one I mentioned, This Is the Way. If you'll email me, I'll tell you how to get the book and I'll send it to you for free. It's mathewvroman at gmail.com. Let's remember every day, every hour, every moment, there is always hope in Jesus Christ. This has been the Hour of Hope. This is Pastor Matthew Broman of Safe Harbor Church. Let's look up and let's look to Christ, the hope of all hopes, the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, who is returning soon, and the one we proclaim. Have a good day.